Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com.
From KQED.
It's really the dog's bowel systems ruined it for you.
But... my girl is the perfect dog.
Yeah.
It's always that one dog,
and I don't know who it is, and so I can't make those calls.
This is Political Breakdown from KQED in San Francisco. I'm Marisa Lagos.
And I'm Scott Schaefer. Today on The Breakdown, President Joe Biden is under a microscope this election season as political foes paint him as too old to serve another term. But one of the things former President Donald Trump has mocked has nothing to do with Biden's age, but rather with a lifelong speech impediment.
Things that people cannot control, it's not their fault. No one has a right. No one has a right to mock it and make fun of it, no matter who they are.
President Biden has a stutter, and while he's worked hard and often effectively to live with it, our guest today says she wants him and other stutterers to embrace their stutter. Maya Chupkov is a stuttering advocate and host of the podcast Proud Stutter. She launched a public relations campaign after Trump's recent comments urging people with stutters to come forward. Maya, welcome to The Breakdown.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you. And I guess to start with the kind of negative side of things, can you talk a little bit about how and when you first heard former President Trump's comments and what your reaction was? How did it make you feel?
Yeah, so I was actually on my way back from a baby shower. I was in my hometown in Los Angeles, and my husband sent me the clip, and I didn't watch it right away because I was in the car. And then I checked my email and I got a flood of emails from people saying, like, have you seen this? Like, what should we do about it? And then when I got home, I watched the clip. And, you know, I have dealt with the emotional side of my stutter my whole life. And so when I see videos like that, especially the laughing, it definitely brings back those days of bullying. Mm-hmm. But it also brings me back to being frustrated of just having to see this over and over again. Like, when will the narrative change? And so my feeling really was just, here we go again.
Yeah. Well, Biden, you know, has spoken about this openly several times on the campaign trail. And 4 years ago, he actually opened up a bit at a CNN town hall in New Hampshire after being asked what advice he'd give a young person struggling with a stutter.
And so what I say to anybody out there, and any of the people you work with, young people who stutter, I'll give you my phone number, not a joke. And they can call me. I'll give you a private number. Because it's really important they know. They know. They want to say, you really did stutter? And I still occasionally, when I find myself really tired, catch myself saying something like that. It has nothing to do with your intelligence quotient. It has nothing to do with your intellectual makeup. It has something to do with going back a long time relating to, I think part of it is confidence and how you were, what circumstance you faced.
Wow, Maya, it's hard to imagine the President of the United States not having confidence. But when you hear him talk about it like that, how does it make you feel? What do you think about?
Yeah, I mean, I have really struggled with confidence my whole life because of my speech, and especially like in the workplace, it's definitely been a struggle. There's a lot of ableism and misunderstanding. And so I definitely resonate. But, you know, having someone like President Biden who does have a stutter really, I think, gives a lot of people who stutter hope that, you know, they can do what they want to do, even if they have speech challenges.
You know, we're a political podcast. And Scott, I'm wondering, as you listen to this and think about what we've seen and heard, I wonder, like, Republicans need to convince undecided voters that Biden shouldn't get another term. And this whole attack on his age is one thing. But is it helpful in another way to remind people that he has this stutter, that maybe when he trips over his speech, it's not just his age or something else. It's something that he's been very open about. And to Maya's point, that a lot of people deal with.
Absolutely. And I think it does humanize the president, especially when he openly talks about it. I mean, it's hard to listen to what we heard there at that town hall and not feel empathy. Mm-hmm. But Trump doesn't seem to have a whole lot of empathy. You know, his whole brand is being tough and, you know, frankly, kind of nasty. And he has set, I think, a really low bar in terms of not just things like around race and immigration, but just personally attacking people. He did it in 2020 as well, when he was attacking a reporter because he had, you know, some sort of a disability.
Physical disability.
So we'll see. I mean, in some ways, it's baked into who he is. So we'll see if Democrats or their advocates, people like Maya, can actually make a difference and get people to think about it in a different way.
I mean, Maya, how do you read this from a political perspective? I know there's an estimated 3 million people in the U.S. with stutters. They're probably not all adults, but they have family members who know what they're dealing with. Like, do you think this could galvanize voters like that? And I mean, you've, you know, launched this campaign to really bring attention to what Biden is saying and how he should, you know, sort of embrace it.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the biggest differences I've seen from past times, because Trump has multiple times made fun of Biden's stutter. But what I saw the difference in this past clip that surfaced is that people are coming out of the shadows so much more than I've ever seen. Like, I've been doing the podcast for almost 3 years now, and this is, like, I'd never gotten so many emails saying, like, I want to speak up and, you know, how can we help? And so I really see that this is a big moment for the stuttering movement. And I think it's really going to just keep getting louder and louder when this stuff happens. And I really think that there is a voter base among people who stutter.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, this is not something that only Democrats deal with, or Republicans or independents. It is a human condition. But how do you think about organizing, using this as an organizing tool politically?
So politically, I'm not really sure, but honestly, like, I think Biden would, like, I think it's in Biden's best interest to really take this moment and really open up a dialogue of stuttering, because, you know, he's in a different generation than me and a lot of other people, and he probably dealt with stuttering in a completely different way. And so I think having this multi-generational open dialogue about stuttering, I think, can be really helpful, not just for people who stutter, but also for people relating to him.
I mean, it strikes me, listening to your podcast and the president speak about some of the tools he's used to overcome his stutter in public speaking, including not being too tired, just going slowly, not trying to rush. I mean, these are things that people without a stutter have to deal with, too, to some extent, if you're speaking publicly, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there are people who, you know, stumble on their words or might, you know, stutter from time to time, but like, if you have a stutter and have struggled with this, like, your whole life, it's, like, constantly on your mind, like, every single moment, every day, every situation you're in. So I think there's a difference there. But, yeah, like, when you have, like, professional speaking trainers that are coaching you as a politician, I think you can really, like, learn how to find your rhythm and be able to mask it more.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Political Breakdown. I'm Marisa Lagos. We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com.
Welcome back to Political Breakdown. I'm Marisa Lagos, here with Scott Schaefer. Today we are talking with Maya Chubkov. She is a stuttering activist and host of the podcast Proud Stutter. Maya, if you're willing, I would love to hear a little bit more about your personal journey. You mentioned at the top that, you know, you were bullied. This is something you've thought about so long. And I'm curious, like, yeah, what was it like as a kid before maybe you started having, you know, awareness of this, you know, and going to speech therapy and things like that, but also just throughout your childhood?
Yeah. So starting with my childhood, it was a very lonely experience. I didn't know anyone else who stuttered. So I really thought that I was the only one who stuttered and was navigating that. I think the first memory I had when I realized I was different is when I'd get called out of class to go to speech therapy and no one else was getting called out. And my mom put me in speech therapy when she realized I wasn't going to outgrow it. And I honestly struggled in speech therapy because I didn't really like it and I didn't really feel like anything was wrong. But I also wanted to kind of, you know, just do what's right. So I kind of just went through the motions and I became really good at hiding my stutter. And throughout my life, like, I feel like hiding my stutter is really, it's really prevented me from making a lot of like really personal relationships over my life. And so that was always a struggle. But with Proud to Stutter, how it really came about, because I had never opened up about my stutter in a public way. And so during the pandemic, I really felt like I wanted to tap into something more creative. And my husband's was like, you should talk about stuttering. And because I thought podcasting would be a cool hobby to do. And that's really where Proud Stutter was born, was like this pandemic project that was like
something
why
good
not?
Out of the pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, there's something really empowering about just sort of owning it, you know. You know, I'm gay, and sometimes when people come out as gay, like to parents, and they don't mean anything by it, but they'll say like, "Oh, why are you gay? Or what did I do wrong as a parent?" And, you know, they try to change you sometimes, like to send you to conversion therapy. And I'm just wondering, like, what is it about the way stuttering gets characterized by people who know you or by people who don't that really bothers you, where you think, you know, that's just not the way to talk about it?
Yeah. So in speech therapy, historically, they really focus on fluency shaping. That's what it's called, to really help you just slow down. And you kind of start sounding like a robot almost. And I'm like, okay, I'd rather have a stutter than sound like a robot. So that's like one part of speech therapy. And I think another misconception socially around stuttering is unsure. Like if you see someone stutter, you might think, oh, they don't really know what they're going to say, or maybe they're not intelligent. Those are judgments I've carried my whole life. And, you know, to be honest, I thought I was dumb for a large part of my life. And so it takes a lot to kind of unpack and come to terms with that.
Yeah. I mean, I know you talk about not wanting to fix your stutter, right? That it is part of you and it's something that we all cope with different parts of ourselves. I feel like the president has talked about this too. In that same talk, he talked about, you know, it's embarrassing, but it shouldn't be. It shouldn't define who we are. How have you seen this change generationally? Because you talked about that with Biden, right? Like, it is a different moment we're in.
Yeah. So I took speech therapy 20 years ago. And the first thing I want to say is I think speech therapy has come a long way. Now there's a lot of speech therapists out there who actually stutter themselves. And the whole point of speech therapy is more around goal setting and confidence rather than fluency. So that's one way it's evolved. I think another way is there's all these artists coming out of the shadows and really trying to build understanding around, like, you know, how art can kind of, you know, help society understand. And so there's a magazine called Disfluent. There's an artist, Jerome Ellis, who has a album out called The Clearing that's all about stuttering. I'm working on a documentary around stuttering. And so I think there's just this empowerment and arts advocacy really building within.
You said that you had speech therapy, you know, decades ago. Do you feel like, to what extent do you feel like, you know, kids still bully other kids for all kinds of things? I mean, is stuttering still on that top five list of things that kids get, you know, made fun of for?
I mean, I've definitely heard stories from parents that their kids gets bullied because of their stutter. So I definitely think that's still around. And I can speak from my own experience. I don't really remember ever getting bullied about my stutter, but I think my stutter made me a target in some ways because they saw me as more vulnerable. So that's kind of how I've internalized it. But when you have a stutter and you're young, just navigating, you know, elementary school, middle school, it's just, oh my God, like I just, it's really hard.
Yeah. I mean, anything that makes you stand out or different makes you more vulnerable around kids. Totally. I mean, I've been thinking about this too, because the most negative feedback I get as a woman on the radio is about my voice and the way I speak. And some of the things I think listening to your podcast that maybe folks get taught or take on is using filler words like, you know, or things that help us slow down and think about what we're going to say. And yeah, I have emails printed out and on my desk of people who have said mean things. I mean, Scott, though, to your point, like young voters are going to be a crucial election block this year. And even though we know that people still get bullied and things aren't all hunky-dory, I do think that like the younger generations are so much more open to diversity of all sorts. Like, how do you see this playing? I mean, the former president, like you said at the top, has really made sort of a brand out of often being mean. But that may not work with young people who are like independents and swing voters.
Well, yeah. And I think that this younger generation really values fairness and equity and justice. Now, whether it's the kind of thing that would influence whether they vote or how they vote, especially when you've got these other things like climate change and the Gaza war out there. But I do think that it is a way for the president, as you said earlier, Maya, to connect with younger people who care about things like this, about bullying. I mean, no one talked about bullying when I was a kid. Right. You know, people just did it. And that was that. And really, nobody called it out. And, you know, we are in a different time. I mean, you know, before the show, we were talking, you and I, Marisa, about how previous presidents, FDR was in a wheelchair. John Kennedy had Addison's disease, and the press never talked about it. It was kind of a gentleman's agreement, so to speak, and they were all men back then who were covering the president. Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, is in a wheelchair. So I don't know, you know, the extent to which, you know, people are more accepting or willing to embrace a candidate or a president, you know, who has these things. I think, unfortunately, a lot of people see it as a weakness, you know, and I think that's also a reason why we haven't had a woman president. You know, people, for some reason, Americans want a strong president, whatever they, however they define that.
But Maya, I mean, you could see this as a sort of a secret, you know, some secret sauce here. Like it is a strength if you've had to overcome something.
Yeah, I definitely see pride in, President Biden's stutter as a strength, because it makes him, like, when he talks about stuttering being his superpower and being a good listener and being empathetic, that really makes me think like, oh, wow, he's a good person. And so I really think that, you know, that really resonates with me. And I think a lot of other people who stutter. And, you know, one of the things that I always try to do with Proud Stutter is, you know, there is this overcoming narrative. And, you know, yes, there are people who are able to master stutter really well, especially if they have an amazing team around them, you know, helping them navigate speeches and stuff. But most people don't overcome their stutter ever. There's no cure for stuttering. And so that's why Proud Stutter has the message of acceptance. And, you know, and it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not accept your stutter. It's just, you know.
It's fascinating. We still don't know why people stutter, too, right? Just from a medical standpoint, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, Biden has started making fun of his age. You know, it's sort of been an elephant in the room, and now he's starting to talk about it, kind of like, you know, Reagan did with Mondale in 84. I'm wondering, you know, it seems like it would be a really slippery slope, though, to make fun of your stutter. I mean, how do you think of a way that he could, other than just being open about it and talking about it,
but have some sense of humor?
Yeah, like, you know, to sort of add the humanity that he brings to that conversation.
Yeah. So what I do when I'm, because I speak publicly a lot, and what I do is, depending on how I feel at the time, I mean, everyone knows this might not fit into Biden's strategy, but sometimes what I do is, if I experience a block in a speech and no one knows I stutter, I'll just be like, oh, hey, there's my stutter again. Like, you might hear it again. And then I just go back into it. So I could kind of just lighten the atmosphere a little bit, because some of my blocks can be really surprising to people. So I'm kind of just like, yep, can't get that word out. I'm going to move on to the next one.
Yeah. That's amazing. Well, and it's like we've been speaking about, you know, I do think that for all of our challenges, our society has gotten better about being open about a lot of weaknesses. I mean, we've talked to the governor about his dyslexia, which I know is a huge thing for young people who are struggling with that, to have someone like him up there giving often way too long of speeches, honestly.
But not because he has dyslexia.
Not because he has dyslexia, just because he likes to talk. Maya, you have helped. We mentioned you're an advocate, and in addition to the kind of jumping in to this debate in the presidential race, you've helped advocate to create a Stuttering Week Awareness Week, both in San Francisco and in California. And our Assembly Speaker, Robert Rivas, who we're actually speaking with tomorrow, has also talked about his stutter openly. I just wonder, like, why is it important to have these weeks, and what does it mean to have someone like him at the head of, you know, the lower chamber in Sacramento?
Honestly, I'm like getting emotional, because like it honestly means so much to me about how open he is about his stutter. Like, to see someone in his position be open and to say, like, you know, I have it, I still have it. Like, he doesn't really talk about overcoming. He really just says he has it. And like, and just being on the podium with him in Sacramento when we recognize Stuttering Awareness Week, and having people in the community be able to speak alongside him, I'm just getting emotional, because it's just such a powerful moment, and it makes people who stutter feel like, you know, they're being seen and that our policy leaders care about them.
Maybe we'll let him know that tomorrow.
That was Maya Chupkov. She is a stuttering advocate and host of the podcast Proud Stutter. Maya, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
That's a wrap for Wednesday, March 13th. Political Breakdown is a production of KQED.
Our engineer is Seal Muller. Our producer is Izzy Bloom. I'm Scott Schaefer.
And I'm Marisa Lagos. Thanks for listening.